blood. Oh, you blood. On the apostolic day. On the apostolic day. On the apostolic day. We invite you to come to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. This is a church that is called by his name. This is the church of his faith. This is the church that started out for us at Cornelius' house when they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they received the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues that the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And we thank God that we're glad to be in this church that is called by the name of God and the church of his faith.
We welcome you again to the broadcast from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. We thank you that you have tuned in again for whatever reason. Maybe it's by accident, or maybe you just keep the radio to this particular station, or you tune in deliberately to hear the word of God at this hour. I know that my Aunt Faye Cara, she listens faithfully. So we bid her peace this morning, and many others that are tuning in around the world by way of the World Wide Web. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to consider what we say, and then let the Lord give you the understanding in all things. I'm so pleased that I've had a great opportunity in life to fulfill the word of God. It gives me such a great feeling of how the Lord has given us the wisdom of his word. And we do not take a script, but we wait for the Lord to give the mouth what it shall say. And I have never found myself without anything to say in the 25 years or whatever it is that I have been privileged enough to go to. Not only the people of God, but to the contrary ones and the ones that have gone out, and the ones we call the lost sheep, in an effort to give them the truth of God, to perhaps turn them from darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God. We thank God always for his loving kindness, his mercy to the church, that in his patience, he is saving us, and in our patience, we are possessing our own souls. And I consider today that I have been quite patient with God, and at many moments in the mind that you would want to give up. We thank God for the church, because the church is where you go when you are downcast, when you are low in spirit, when you think something that is not true about God. The church is where you go for someone to build you up in the Word of God. Now, if you want someone to agree with you, you can go to your girlfriend or your whoever that will tell you what you want to hear and maybe keep you in a place where you are for a longer period of time, you go to them. But if you are looking for deliverance, you go to the church. If you're looking to be blessed, you go to the church. If you want to be healed of an issue, you would go to the church. But if you don't care about what you hear, or you don't care about your own soul, then you would go anywhere and hear anything and do something maybe that is contrary to God. But I am so glad that the Lord put the church and kept it in these last and evil days, because when someone is honest in heart and want to be saved from the wickedness of this generation, which is worse than the one before, the Lord has the church here for truth and to tell you what you must do to be saved. Now that Jesus is gone, he sent the Comforter and kept his word here with the church. As Cornelius wanted to be saved, the Lord told him to send for Peter, because of course Peter had the truth, and Peter was of course the ambassador or head of the church. And once Peter got there, he told Cornelius and his friends that were gathered what they must do to be saved. So again, today we thank God that the church has been maintained by God, kept by God, will be delivered by God when he said in his word, I am coming for my church, because his church doesn't have any spots, doesn't have any wrinkles or any such thing. You know what it is for a garment to be all wrinkled and to be all spotted up. You know it's not clean. But however, the church is, and we thank God that the church don't have thieves in it. The church don't have liars in it. There might be some gathered in the building where the church is tabernacling, but the church has no such thing, because the church is the body of Christ. This is the conversation that the Lord had with Peter. He said, upon this rock of truth you've spoke to me about, he said, I will build my church. Also in another thought, he called Peter Cephas, which meant rock or stone. And Peter then, of course, was the one that built the foundation for Christ in the last and evil days at Jerusalem, where all the prophecy said that it would come. So it is this church that has been maintained, even if you think about the wilderness, that Christ that was there, the church that was kept, or the people of God that was kept in the promise or in the commandment of God. We are now kept by that same God. And that same God gives the church its preacher, because he cannot preach except he be sent of God. So we thank God today that when we need to be delivered or we need to be free from ills, we have the church. And not only do I have to go to the church, I have to go in the byways, the highways, and compel them who are not quite in the right place to come. That is the job of the man of God. He must go throughout the world. He must go from place to place and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that them that are searching for truth can find that truth in the church. And we thank God for this radio station that makes it possible for me to sit in one spot and reach a vast audience via the internet or via the podcast, wherever my voice has been put to a digital form, and it can now go around the world and help God in his effort to soon come. Because once this gospel has bumped the ends of the earth, then the Lord can come. And we thank God for how he's moved on man to create such a way that I can cover the world by making a transcription of my voice and then broadcast it around the world by way of the internet or the World Wide Web, as it's called, or however it is getting around, especially this country and many foreign countries. They're tuning in to a podcast. I'm pleased that we are hitting every state in the United States, and all religious folk of all persuasions, some other than the apostolic or apostolic way, but they're listening, and perhaps they will consider what I'm saying today, that the church has found its possession of righteousness in that it is patient to wait on God. We have gone through many trials and tests, but the church has remained as it was, as it started on the day of Pentecost. The church hasn't changed. It was beat upon in that day that the saints had to go house to house because there were those that were seeking to destroy the church. But I'm so grateful that there are ones that have housed the church, and people have given their homes over to be a temple for the church to hide until many storms have passed. And it is this deliverance that the Lord has always kept the church. Even when the man of God was imprisoned and could not get to the saints, however, the saints then remained together in prayer without ceasing until the Lord delivered him again unto their coast, and where that they could gather with the man of God and seek then the mind of Christ, that the church could be built up in their most holy faith. Most of the things you hear me saying right now, you understand because you know the word of God. And when Christ Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, I need you to understand he was talking about what was going to go to the ground and be there for 3 days and 3 nights. And on the third day, he would get the church up out of the ground and take it and establish it on the day of Pentecost, and then began to add souls to it. And as these souls that have, through the patience of God and the patience of that they had, they now possess a wonderful calling for their souls to be saved. Many of them died in faith, yet not receiving the promise, but we thank God that they died believing. And it is this patience of the church that I guess I will try to speak with you concerning today, because the church has had many trying days. I was thinking on my nephew who was coming home from work in the early morning when the sun was rising, and I understand a man on the other side of the road was blinded by the sun, and he went over into my nephew's lane and hit him head on. And my nephew, of course, could see, according to his report, the man coming, but he had no time whatsoever to get out of the man's way. But he did have enough time to try to stop by using his brakes, but him stopping and not getting out of the way, the man, of course, put the front of his car almost to his windshield, and he bumped his head, of course, on the windshield, but his foot that he put on the brake is what broke at his ankle. And I thought it was so interesting in him trying to stop that his foot was broken. And you know how when people get just a little bit of the story, it could get all out of hand. And I have a sister who was not given the full story. So I noticed when I got to my phone that I had it on silence, but she had called me 15 times to give me the news about what had happened to my nephew. And not being able to get me, she got someone else that came to where I was and said, your sister is trying to get you. So when I asked what the problem was, she said, my nephew had gone to the hospital, and my sister couldn't see her son. They wouldn't let her see him. He was in an awful accident, and his leg was crushed, and they were going to amputate it. And she needed me to pray, and she was screaming and hollering and crying. And I found myself very calm because I wanted to make sure I heard from someone who knew what was going on, and not basically someone who got half of the story. So I was able to get my sister at the hospital, and she said, you know, that she hadn't gotten all the information, but what she understood so far is that he had a broken leg. And while she was yet talking to me, the police officer came to the hospital from the scene of the accident and gave her what had happened at the accident, and told her that the man was blinded by the sun and ventured over and to my nephew's lane, and how he had saw his leg, that it was broke at the ankle. And so once we got all the information, of course, we began to thank God that God spared his life. And we were just pleased that it was not as bad as it could have been when we saw the car and what it looked like. But I thank God for how, when we got the essence of what had happened, we were still calm enough to say, I thank God for his deliverance, because he will always deliver the church from harm and danger. And no matter what the consequences of it was, when someone is baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, and they are filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're doing all that they can to obey the commandments of God, death is not something that you fear, because death has no part in you. And so we are so thankful that when we got the information to my other sister that called me, she had calmed down a little. And of course, being like it's 13 of us, we all began to know when that particular sister called hysterical, you just stay calm until she calms down, and then we all laugh about it. But we all began to give God the glory that it was not as bad as our minds can tell us things are. And when my sister saw her son, he was able to tell her it was just such a shocking thing that he had his foot in his hand with his bones coming out of its place. He was holding it, and he cared about, was he going to lose his foot? And thank God it doesn't appear that he is going to. So we're thankful to God for his keeping of the church. And this is the thing that I want to try to press upon my listeners today, that you have to be patient with God. And when you read the book and you find the patience of saints, the patience of saints is getting through every trial, every thing that comes against the church, every war, every tribulation, every trial, everything that comes. Here is the testimony of the patience of saints, that we overcome and we are still a witness to God, no matter what men say. We are a testimony of the patience of God, that how he waits for the latter rain or for the latter people that will try to save themselves from this wicked generation. And in my thoughts of telling you the reason you go to the church, I also want to tell you the reason that the man of God goes to the world. He goes there to find them that are trying to get out of the world and get into the church. It is the job of the man of God, the apostles of Jesus Christ, to go to that world and confront the spirit of that world and turn folks that are in darkness and put them in the light. And once they are then put in that light, he can leave the 99 and go and get the one that is out there that is trying to find their way into the church. It is not really the man of God's job just to maintain and stay with the church 24/7. He has to find a way to get to them that are gone contrary. And even if it's him sitting among them, that they will know then that a prophet was among them, to try to turn them that are in darkness to light. I've had the opportunity since I've been here that I went to a group of people that were with us some years ago. And I had the opportunity because the Holy Ghost said go, and I went. And while I was sitting there, a gentleman in his testifying asked the minister that was in charge of the services. He was sitting next to me, and the gentleman asked, could he tell a dream that he had? And I asked the minister that's in charge, I say, let him tell it, please. And the minister let him then tell this dream. And as I began to listen to the dream, I knew then why God had sent me there. He said in the dream that he slept during the day because he worked at night, and he had went into his closet to pray, and he prayed. He knew the hours that he had prayed. He said, I prayed 50 minutes. How he knew that, I don't know. But anyway, he said, I prayed 50 minutes. And he came out of his closet and he laid across his bed. And he began to have a dream. So a dream is when you're asleep. A vision is you're awake. So he called it a dream. So evidently I'm going to say he was asleep. I don't know, because at some point he said vision. But a dream, you tell a dream as a dream. So he told the dream. He said that in this dream, he saw the three ministers. One was an elder, maybe, and the others were deacons or ministers, whoever they were. They were the ones that were on the altar there. They all had their backs to the people. And they began to pray. And he showed how they had their hands. And then he said they bowed down on their face with their backs to the people. And having their backs to the people, of course, then did what they did. They all bowed down. And while they were bowed, he said, an angel of the Lord came into the midst of them. And when that angel came in the midst of them, that angel then went over and he pointed to a piano. And the angel went to the instrument and began to tell them that they must get rid of the CDs that they had. They must get rid of all of these CDs. And he said in the dream, he came out of the dream to say he thought about himself, that he said, I had these DVDs. And he said, I need to get rid of this. And he didn't understand why he had to get rid of all of these things. But he said a DVD was not a CD. But I knew exactly what he was saying. And he continued to tell the church about what the angel gave to the church. And at the end of his speaking, he said much more, but I don't have the time to go through all of it. But in his dream, I turned to the minister and he looked and he asked, he said, why are you here? He said, don't you have to go to church and preach? I said, they'll wait for me. I said, I came here to hear that dream. And of course, we began to talk about the dream. And I said, what do you think his speech meant when he said, get rid of the CDs and things? And he had no idea. So I said, of course, he's saying get rid of, because the church has made a god out of the tapes of Bishop S.C. Johnson. And they will not hear the angel that is in the church today. We had Bishop Johnson to tell us what Peter and Paul prescribed for the church. He was there to make it plain what their speech was. At his death, it was not the will of God that the church just hear him, and there was no one to now explain what he said, to open up what he said. The Lord said, I never left myself without the witness. So if there is a witness, he must be here to tell us what thus saith the Lord. But it is this sect of people that all they want to hear is what is on the CDs and the tapes of Bishop S.C. Johnson. And they don't care who or what anybody else says, even though they say they came from God. And this vision, the man, or the dream rather, he gave them, said that we must get rid of these things. And I explained then to the minister that this is what God did when it came to the brazen serpent that Moses had that did all the miracles by in his day, that the people took that and made a god out of it. So, of course, the Lord then destroyed it. The Lord will always give the church. He said, I put in the church first apostles. And that's how this church started. And the apostles have maintained this church and put in this church what is wanting. When the church needs a pastor, the apostle of Jesus Christ put a pastor in place for the church. All of these positions or these works are in the church to perfect saints. And this is the body, this is the church that we are talking about. And I thought it was interesting that the Lord had given us a scripture prior to hearing the speech of the man from Ezekiel, that he said, you are to them, you know, like a lovely voice and one that plays an instrument, but they are going to know that at a certain time that there was a prophet of the Lord among them. And I find that so compelling that God did that for me and then sent me to them for me to hear that. And when you read, I think it's in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter and the 32nd verse, the angel gave Ezekiel this word. He said, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that have a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet had been among them. And I thought it was so interesting that God did that, because the man of God's job, his work, is to go to the lost sheep. This is part of what Christ did to his apostles. He said, I need you to go to the lost tribes of Israel. The church is gathered. Go to the lost ones and try to pull them from darkness back to the light. And he said, do not go to the Gentiles, because he knew he was going to give us Apostle Paul, and Paul would do the work with other men that God would connect with him to go to the saints, to the Gentile family, and pull them into the church. And this was the reason that the church then got the right hands of fellowship, the Gentile church with the Jewish church, to make the church one, and all nations are now with the church. And the apostles then began to travel and began to go to their brothers and ask, who persuaded you now to go to another gospel and believe something that the church never believed? And this is what is happening today, that many are being persuaded, and it's not God that's doing the persuading. If anybody leaves what's already established by God and fulfill and desire to do another work, that is not God that's doing that. But it is important that we understand that once the right hands of fellowship was given by Peter to Paul and the rest of them, Peter pulled in that work and grafted in that whole nation of Gentiles as now a part of the branch and the root, because they are now getting its substance from that root, that they are now in the church.
And that church is what the Lord is coming for. So when someone breaks off of that and go and do something else, the one that called them in here to truth is not the one that told them to do that. And it is these lost ones that are in darkness and can't find their way out of it that the light of the gospel must get to them. And if the preacher just stays where he is and preaches to the same souls about being in the dark, he got the wrong speech for the church. The church is in the light. But when you come and do what I do, when I sit with you and try to persuade you to look at the word of the Lord and say, am I in light or am I in darkness? And if you're in light, you and I will be together. You and I will get rid of every obstacle that is in our way for us to come and be together, because all believers are together. Even the world teaches you that birds of a feather, they flock together. So even if nature teaches that, you can understand then what the word of the Lord is teaching when he said all believers are together. And I have been going and speaking to many. I spent much time trying to persuade men who have a foreign way to me and a foreign way to the word of God to try to convince them that this is what the word of the Lord said. And as I was reading to a man the other day, he said, the scripture doesn't say that. And I go and get the word and read it word for word. And he said, it still doesn't say that. So I say, well, will you get your book and you read what it says? And let's see if your book says something different from my book. And when he go and he said, it don't say that. I say, well, I can't help a man that will not hear what the word of the Lord is saying. And I think when we think about the patience that God has given the man of God to sit among them that even hate him without a cause, and they hate him because someone gets behind the pulpit and calls him a false prophet, they call him a liar, they call him a false teacher, they say all of these things against him. But they are going to know, because the time is coming and it is now here, that they're going to know that a prophet was among them. And they sat with him as the people of God sit, but they don't hear. And this is what the angel of God gave Ezekiel to give the church. That when we come together and we have worship service like we are God's people, And we don't know when the man of God comes in our midst, but a man will have a dream to say the angel of God came among us. He came among us and he warned us. The man kept saying how they were being warned. They were being warned. They were being warned. And what they had to do, that fellow didn't know what he was seeing. But I knew, because I knew before I got there what the heavens was going to do. He's got to prove, as this radio broadcast goes around the world, who I am. This is what the Lord did when the man of God, Elijah, said, we'll give you all day to call on Baal. And those people cut themselves. They gathered as they were worshiping the true God. But they had a false God. And that false God could not answer them. But at the even time, God came down and he said, not only prove who God was, but he was going to prove that he was the man of God. And these are what our words do. This is what our work do. We're proving that God sent us to gather people that want to save themselves from wickedness and from liars and from false apostles and false teachers. And it's been many years, but the church has still been kept by God from temptations, from trials, from wars, and rumors of wars. The church has been kept. And even though there are nations, as the scripture talked about, I believe in Luke, against nations and kingdom against kingdoms, and many things that are going to happen in the world by famine, pestilence, all these kinds of things, the church has a testimony that we have possessed our souls and we have kept the word of the Lord and we have settled things in our hearts and we are meditating on something that we're going to be betrayed, he said, by parents, by friends and by brethren, by kinfolk. And he said, some of us might even be put to death. We're going to be hated, he said, for the name of God. But he said, not a hair on our head shall perish because our patience to wait on God, we can possess our souls. And when we see that something going to happen at Jerusalem, and compassed about that power that fell there, let us flee from wickedness. Let us get away from and depart from. Because in these days of vengeance, he said, these things that are written are going to be fulfilled. Because it is now this time for vengeance that God is going to get the glory out of the thing. So if we flee from it, we went to the mountain when Kenneth Shelton tried to get us to believe something different from what was written. We then flee and what was compassed about us because we had so great a cloud of witnesses that we knew to run from false doctrine because God was going to come and get the vengeance for us. So therefore, when we then wanted to be saved and we knew we had our salvation, we possessed our souls by being patient even until this very hour to wait on God. And I'm so glad that we are waiting and letting God get the vengeance because he has given us the victory and we will not let it go, not for anything. And if I have the victory over death, why in God's name would I give up to let death reign in me when I got the victory over death and death has no power over me? But the sting of death is sin. So why would I get death and let it reign over me and give up on knowing who God is? And I want to tell you, and I didn't want to say while I was telling the man's dream what I said, but I wanted to give you the dream first. But when the man asked the minister, can I tell the dream? I said, let him tell it because it is about me. And he looked at me. He said, this dream won't be about you. I said, let him tell it because it is about me. I was the one that's been sitting there, telling them that they got to get rid of. And they always want to know, what did Bishop Johnson say? What did Bishop Johnson say? Well, what did God say? Every time you ask what he said, that scripture says that is carnal. He was nothing. I am nothing. It's God that's giving the increase to the church. And if you're going to not listen to what God is saying right now and only want to go back to what he said, well, you don't need him. Go get what Peter and Paul said. They're the one that was there from the beginning. Go get them. But you won't understand them unless God put an angel in the church now to tell you what it was they said. And it is still powerful today that the Lord said, I will be with you until the end of the earth. The end of the earth is not here. Bishop Johnson said, you sound like a fool saying it's not going to be anymore after me. But they came up with this speech that, oh, he was the last one and there's not going to be another after him. He preached it won't be another after him. He didn't preach such foolishness. Oh, he canned up the gospel. He canned it up. Who got the can opener? Somebody got to open it. Peter canned it up. Paul canned it up. John, all of them canned it up. Christ canned it up. He canned it up in a book you call the Bible. But I call it the scriptures. Because the scriptures call it the scriptures. But the church has continued with the apostles, with the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, all the works that God had in the church. They're still there. You can't put them out of the church. You can't say, well, Bishop Johnson is the only apostle. Bishop Johnson said you could not have a dead apostle. He said, Peter and Paul are dead tonight. He said, what could you ask them? But we are here. We are doing that work. We are going to the church when the man of God need to be comforted. And when the man of God need to see that the work of God is still being manifested in saints, he goes to the church for that. But his job is to go to the lost ones and convince them God sent him for them. Can you imagine if there was a big ship, which was the church, and it broke up? And this is what I think about when he said, not a hair on your head will be lost. The man of God was on that ship. But Bishop Johnson and I preach that if you could get a hold of a toothpick size from that ship, that toothpick, if you can grab it, that toothpick would take you to the shore safely. I don't care if you was in the middle of the ocean and that boat broke up. If you got a piece of that ship the size of a toothpick, because God had promised not a hair on your head will be lost of them that are with you, that toothpick will take you to the shore. But some people won't grab a hold to the toothpick because I feel I'm that toothpick. When this all broke up, I'm that toothpick that was a part of the ship that broke up. But I have the part that's going to take you to safety. I'm that toothpick. It broke up. But as I'm going to the shore to meet God, I'm gathering all of them that are trying to be with me. Because if you're with me, we're going to the shore to meet the Lord. We're going to get past this storm. And if we make it to the shore and the Lord has not come yet, I don't care what happens. If a serpent comes out of the fire, we can shake it off and continue to move. But I know that I'm that toothpick. And it is this thought I'm trying to get over to you that when he send me, and even if you are on a plastic boat and some of you made it, I'm saying, come thou with me because I will do you good. But if I grab your rowboat and said, I can stay in the water, but my toothpick is going to pull you to the shore. And some say, I don't want to go. I don't know who you are. We don't care who you are. Leave us alone. We are fine. We can worship the Lord out here by ourselves. No, you can't. All believers have to come together as we go to meet the Lord. If you understand what I'm saying, is at the evening when everything broke up in darkness and gross darkness covered the people, we couldn't find our way. But the Lord always had that direction for the church. Moses had a direction. Moses was that toothpick when all Gehenna broke loose for leaving Egypt. The people of God knew where to go because Moses was the toothpick to take them. And when Bishop Johnson came out of the movement, he didn't leave the church because he was the only one out of that group of men that came from Azusa Street that heard the voice of God. That's how they knew who he was. And they fought him tooth and nail. Every time he would build up something, they would take it and break it up. But everyone that followed that toothpick, Lawson's church is still out there. Haywood, all these folks' churches are still there. But the devil and his works is trying to destroy Johnson's work, and it is not impossible to do. But the man's dream was get rid of trying to just listen to the tapes and the CDs that you have. The angel is in our midst. The angel is sitting here. Let's grab a hold of him and he'll tell us what we ought to do. Because while I'm on my way at the ship breaking up, I am still on the way to the shore. And everything that is gathered with me is going that same way. The tide is going to take us in. The tide, the Holy Ghost, is going to take us all to the shore. But if you want to go contrary and swim contrary to the tide, contrary to it, then you go ahead. But there's a lot of danger behind us. But there is safety with us and ahead of us. And when Kenneth Shelton broke up, and we could not worship the Lord in spirit and truth in the place where we were, we all then gathered to the man of God that the Lord had spoke to carry the work on. But it is that group of people that is still with Kenneth that I'm going to constantly to say, won't you hear what God is doing with us and by us to be a testimony of Jesus Christ? Even where I sat that first day in the midst of the folk and the man tell the dream, and I told him before the man spoke, I said, this is about me. Let him tell it. Now, there's no way I could do that without God. No way I could say that without God. And it was even so. And I'm thankful to God that as the witness for him, our patience, we have possessed our souls, because our souls, The enemy has been trying to destroy us since Kenneth Shelton opened his mouth. But the Lord has kept us. He has delivered us. And that's why the power in James' voice that comes to the church, he said, let patience have the perfect work then. Let's wait for her, because it's going to take us to the shore. And no matter what men say, no matter what the ones that have gathered against us will do, we're headed to the shore, because the wind is going to take us to the shore. And I'm so thankful that the Lord lets us honor him in a way to do his work, to let all men see that what you ought to do to save yourself is find that toothpick that's on its way to the shore, and you'll find safety for your soul. I am so grateful to God that he has kept the church in the war. He has delivered us from the temptations of the life, from the trials of the life, and from false prophets, and from false teachers, and from false evangelists, and from false everything. He has kept the church. And when the one that is the leader of that God has sent the church, that God could put the works on his tongue to speak to the church wants then the man of God. We need to hear what we ought to do to save ourselves. And once we heard it, we can do it, because what you say, we're going to write it on the tables of our hearts. So, O thou man of God, go to the lost sheep. Compel them to come. Go into the highways, go into the byways, and call them to the marriage. Ask them to come to the dinner, to come to the feast. The saints are already at the feast. Saints are already sitting at in heavenly places. If you can speak about five wise virgins, those are the ones that the Lord knew that they were going to come with enough oil to wait on him. But there are a lot of people that are gone. They were saints, but they didn't have enough oil for patience. They were not patient enough with enough fervor in their belief to wait until the Lord came. But the five wise did. They kept enough. They bought it with them. They bought enough to sustain them until he came. And if the bridegroom lingers, like God always does, linger, he just wait to see. He said, oh, Lazarus is just asleep. They said, no, Lazarus is dead. You're lingering right outside and he's right up the street. Right up the street. And you're saying he's asleep. He's telling you he's dead. But what happened? They had enough patience to wait until he got there. And when he got there, where did you lay him? So when you are wise, you have enough no matter what's happening in opposition to you. You are patient to wait. You might get some moments that you don't feel good, but that is the moment that you go to the church and you count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. But be patient to wait on God. Be patient to believe God, knowing that in your patience, you will possess your soul. And the church will remain in fasting and prayer while the man of God is out warring a warfare. They know he has a love for them that he would not tell them a lie, but his works will prove to them. He can go among anybody and anybody say, oh, that's Bishop Patterson. And they say, come on up here and speak, Bishop Patterson. And Bishop Patterson speaking to people say, now that's God. But when that preacher get back up in front of them and say, oh, we're going to wait and see what the Lord's going to do. The Lord just moved. The people saw the Lord moving and yet they don't move. And my toothpick is just pulling me further and further away from them as I go to the shore. And if you don't want to go, I'm not dragging anybody. But the word of God is pure and it's right. And when patience have a perfect work, that we are going to be patient and entire. We're going to not want anything. We're going to be entirely perfect. But I plead with you. If we get an opportunity to ever meet and you ask me, what should I do to be saved? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what the scripture said. I'm going to open up what Peter preached, Paul, what Bishop Johnson preached, what Bishop Shelton preached, what Bishop Nehemiah did in these latter days. Because the angel of the Lord is coming down in your midst. And just because he plays an instrument well and has what you call a lovely voice, it is none other than the prophet of the Lord that's in your midst. I'm reminded. Even if you get to the book of Revelation, and he said, I saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and to every kindred, and every tongue, and every people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains. It is time for us to worship God. Because the angel of the Lord is in our midst. And I'm so thankful because I thought about when the Lord came to me. He said, I'm going to send you to a stiff-necked bunch of people. The ones that had gone contrary. And I've been going since that day. And I think it's so interesting that when I go in, I come in, they put on a tape of Bishop Johnson. And the tape they inevitably put on. He said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we might inquire? And I am here for you to inquire. And I thank you for this opportunity. I'm looking and the time is already gone. And I got more to say that will take up the next hour or two. But I thank you for giving me this time, this space to preach to you about having patience and find that man of God that has the word of God that can help you save yourselves from this wicked generation. And this is Bishop Patterson inviting you to come to the church for whatever you need. The church has it for deliverance. And I thank you for listening, and we'll say peace be unto you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith radio broadcast. Join us where everyone will be uplifted, young and old. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org.